Good morning, everybody. So, who wouldn't understand German, by the way, just for my interest? So, so that's fine. Good. So, thanks for taking the time just for this one particular student session. We said, so that's the thing for those who haven't been the first time here, that we changed. That we said we invite you students to attend the real program. In previous years, we did like an academic kind of tech days, but we thought like, actually you would probably prefer to have the real food and the real sessions, and that's what you get. I wanted just to say a few things before we get started with the actual session. And one of the things that I didn't know before starting with Microsoft, that Microsoft actually likes students very much. And there is a broad range of things that we offer. So apart from the free tickets, probably all of you might know there's this thing, Microsoft Development Network Academic Alliance, where you can download all our stuff except Office, which costs actually nothing in the student edition, the 79 Swiss, I guess. There are student partners here, for example, is sitting or another one that just once you think I would like to earn like decent money every month. So there's like a 20% job that you can work for Microsoft doing a few things such as running the Kinect Wheel of Fortune as those guys do today. There's something which is called Imagine Cup. That's the largest student software development contest on the planet. I think it was 355,000 students all over the world that participated. This year, if you would do a good job and win, you can fly over to Sydney, which by itself is quite cool. But overall, I think Swiss students still are not in the front rows participating, and we used to say it's more like those in India and Brazil and all kind of students that have to fight for a job after the study, and I can understand that. But still, in this year, the students from Ireland won the whole cup, and I mean, it's not that different, Ireland, from Switzerland. So if you see information, really consider whether you want to take part into that. But today we would like to talk about something which we called You Make IT Smart. We're doing that for the fourth year in a row now, which is really a very nice student contest, which obviously much lower time investment than you would need for the Imagine Cup. So we have been running this for the calendar year and or fiscal year, as we call it in Microsoft. It's half of 2010 and half of 2011. And we had a contest where you could develop a phone app, submit. 50 students did that. They all won a phone. But we have chosen to pick the most outstanding student developer, and the cool thing, he is here today. He is studying at the University de Genève. He created two really cool apps, Monster Up and Galaxium, and his name is Marios. He's here, and he'll say a few words about what he developed, how he liked to develop, and probably can also encourage you to participate in this year's contest.
Hi, good morning. So, developing for the Windows Phone, okay, that has been a cool experience. That's the first thing I want to tell you. The best thing about developing for that is that it's the easiest games platform I've developed on, and I've developed for a few. Okay, I've been developing games since the Amiga days. No, since the old days, okay? But trust me when I tell you, this is easy, this is fast, I love rapid
Mario, so just let me ask a few questions. Oh, yeah, really. That's the winner. Just a wonder, I mean, the game also looks visually very nice. So did you do the coding and the design yourself?
Are you a developer?
So developers don't do art.
Yeah.
Okay. They do some things, they feel it's art, but it's not. So no, I had an arts,
okay.
Arts guy.
Okay.
Good. It's a friend of mine. Yeah.
So then the thing is, you mentioned that the game is available in several marketplaces. Can we hear something about the number of downloads?
Okay, it's...
is it dozens or hundreds?
It's in the thousands.
Is it? Okay.
It's in the thousands. It's less than 10,000, but this includes trials. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't mean tens of thousands of francs just yet. Okay, but it's the rate between, you know, free trials and sales, it's pretty good. It's much better than other platforms.
Okay.
And the trial functionality that you get built in when you make a game, it really helps.
Okay. So because that would have been my follow-up question, so are you still studying or can you make a living out of your gaming? So that's nice support for your studies, I guess, then.
Yes. It's a support right now. I'm still studying. I should be finished in about a year from now. But it's a
So that's about 3 years then, or?
It's about 5 years. But you have lost that.
Good. So thanks very much. Really cool stuff, Marios. He's around also today, I guess,
sure.
So you can talk to him.
Okay.
Good. Thanks, Marios. So we thought, because that was only the start, so we had a really good number of apps. We had a few really great apps. So we thought we can bring this to the next level also by having the next level partner. And you heard a lot about Nokia is coming on to the Windows Phone world. So here's what we're going to do this year. So today we start a new version of YouMake IT Smart, and we offer the same kind of contest but with two modifications. First of all, so it starts here, it ends by the end of February. And by this time, each of you who submit a Windows Phone app that we call like freestyle, so not based on a template, on a pattern, you are going to win a Nokia phone. So it's not a prize draw. Each and every app is going to win a Nokia phone. For those who don't have like months to spend like Marios, or maybe it's a big hurdle, there will be like a template-based version. You're going to see similar stuff today. And there will be Ken, that you're going to see afterwards, coming to most of the university, giving a one-hour talk, telling you where you can use this template and just customize a given kind of code in order to submit your app, which makes it easier. And in that category, there will be a prize draw for the phone. So not every template-based app will directly win a phone, but we have dozens of phones that we have there. So I think pretty cool. Then if you want to know how the phone is going, so by the way, all the information is here on Academic Zone, and you have also the flyers here to remember. And for those who want to know how the phone looks like, so that's what rumored 2 days ago. And I quickly wanted to introduce to the guy who knows how it's actually going to look like, but can't tell you, because that's only going to be released very soon. So please welcome here for a quick talk, Simon from our partner Nokia.
Hi, thanks, Christoph. Hello, everyone, and thanks for having me here on behalf of Nokia Switzerland. Well, honestly, I won't comment on the rumors. We do have Nokia World in a 1 week time. There you might see more stuff, who knows? So check it out in 1 week, Nokia World in London. It's also going to be here. You're going to hear a lot about it.
Yeah, and don't be too humble. So on every seat, there is a little Rubik's Cube sponsored by Nokia with the apps on it. So that's already a feel what you can get.
Hey, maybe I'll just take a quick chance to take my personal experience on, you know, the journey we as Nokia took in the last couple of months. There was a lot of things going on. When Stephen Elop, our new CEO, announced a new strategy in February 2011, I felt, hey, I got to decide, do I believe this story? Am I a believer? Do I believe that we're going to have a big future together with Microsoft or not? And, well, yeah, I decided for me, I do believe we have a great future and we can have a lot of success together. Success, which also means for you, bigger opportunity in terms of handsets in the market, downloads of your applications. Well, overall success for both of us. So here's the reason why I think like we're going to be successful. I tried in the last couple of months all the various phones from various operators, operating system, handsets. I can truly say I absolutely love the Windows Mobile Mango release. Once I got used to it, I can't wait to get my hands on the Nokia with Windows phones once they're in the market.
Thanks a lot. We are waiting too. That's going to be next week. And now we're handing over to Ken, who is the guy actually presenting the stuff, and the Marius and Mark, we can leave the room.
Okay, thanks, Christoph, and welcome everybody. Also from my side, so the student keynote, what I was thinking about to do, I'm going to show you a couple of stuff. First of all, something which is related to the YouMake IT Smart competition. So I'm going to show you the basics about Windows Phone, the basic about Windows Phone 7 development. And then in the second part, I'm going to show you the magic of Kinect. I have here with me a Kinect sensor, and I'm going to do some demo. We are going to see some code. And but let's start with the Windows Phone, first of all. So Windows Phone 7. The idea behind Windows Phone, or the new concept, the new idea, is what we call glance and go. And what I mean with that is that you can just take out from the pocket your phone, have a look at it, and as soon as possible you should be able to see what is going on, what your friends are saying on Facebook, and so on. So for instance, on the home screen, which is the first one here on the left, we have live tiles. Why live? Because they are live animated with real-time information. Okay, here you see some number of unread messages, number of missed calls, and so on. And for this reason, we created this new UI, which is called Metro. And Metro is being inspired from the underground sign, or if you prefer, from the transportation system. Why that? Because if you go abroad, for instance, and you don't speak the language, suppose you are in Japan, well, with signs, you are going to find your ways anyway. So signs are really a universal language. Everybody knows that. And so Windows Phone 7 is directly being inspired from this. So we want really to have clear icons, clear colors, and so on. And now what I want to show you is a short demo, is a short video, which has been done not by Microsoft, but by a member of the community. It's a 24 years old guy who did the video. His name is Brandon Foy. First of all, he produced a video, he put it on YouTube, it was really successful. Microsoft saw it, and he asked him to produce a second video, which is now a Windows Phone 7 ads. And that's the only marketing piece of the presentation. Okay, good. Now I think it's important to see the real phone. This was just a video. So now I have here my Windows Phone. It's an HTC One. I put it on full screen. Now I need to unlock it. I took it away, otherwise you can see my really secret pin. And here you can see this is the home screen. We have those live tiles with real information. I can see I have 900 emails. I have two email accounts. One is the Hotmail one, so the private one. The other one is the business one. And so you see, as I said, how many mail arrived since I last checked. And then you can move tiles around if you want. I have this really famous game, which is Angry Bird. You can tap on it, move it around. For instance, here, tap again, So you can really change the position of all those applications. Here on the side, you have all the list of applications which are installed on my phone. You can search from them. So I want a Facebook application. I click on F, and here I get the Facebook application. You can tap on it, remain, and say pin to start. And now the Facebook application, which I'm using all the day, it's now on the main screen. Another thing I want to show you, for instance, email, a nice feature we have is conversation. So here you see my private email, and you see I have some conversation from, I got like 5 messages from Swisslos. So far I didn't get the right message, but that's another history. Then you can move around, see the unread message, urgent one, and so on. So this is the way you move around inside the phone. It's like a panorama application. Later I'm going to show you Visual Studio. There is a panorama template, and the panorama template can be used in order to build like such an application when you can move on the left and on the right. And now what I want to show you, we have here on the top the People Lab. And the People Lab, it's really a nice thing. It's really an aggregation of contacts which are coming from different systems. So your Outlook contacts, of course, but not only, or as well your friends from Facebook. So contacts coming from different systems. And here you see I have the list of the recent contact. I had a conversation or a call or whatever. I have, for instance, my colleague Sasha. I can navigate, see his profile, write immediately something. Maybe you don't see it, but anyway, there is a link which allows you to write on the wall of Facebook. If I move on the right, I have the What's New section. I'm seeing what Sasha is doing, is saying on Facebook and other social media like LinkedIn and so on. And if I move on the right side, I can access all the album that Sasha has posted on the different social media. So I've seen here, I can see there is a photo album about car. I can open it, have a look around. If I want, I can save one or use it as the wallpaper of my phone and save it to my phone. But now let's go back. Once again, here I see all the history, the call, the last email I did with him, all the history I was having with him. And then, okay, here is the recent contact. Here I've created a couple of groups. I have a family group. I just got married, so now the family group is getting bigger, you know. I'm coming from Ticino, so in Italian, big family, as always. And then I have a work group, so where I have all my colleagues. And here you see, once again, I have Sasha. But now if I move to the What's New section, this time I not only see information on Sasha, but as well on the other worker. And the picture, the same of many people, and so on. So you really always know what those people are doing all the time. Now, a last nice thing we have, okay, of course, the typical Swiss application, so local CH, Swisscom TVware to watch TV, SBB application, the Swiss Airline application, and so on. Leo, really important for me because I need to translate all the time German, Italian, so it's really important. Then here, okay, this Angry Birds game, and then what we have as well, we have Office, we have the Office app. So we have Office integration with SkyDrive. SkyDrive is a free FTP offer from Microsoft. You can use. So here you see the most important document. If you move on the side, you can get access to SkyDrive. And here you see all the folder I created, I published on my private FTP account. And you can get access, open them, and so on. Here on the main... on the main page, I put the most important document. You see some Excel, PowerPoint, Word document. If you want, you can have a look at a presentation. This is a presentation I did last year. So you can open it, and you can really as well navigate. You have animation and so on. If you want, you can change it, save it back to the FTP, and so on. Here I have an Excel list with all the guests of my wedding. This was really important in the last time, always around, in order to update the list and so on. As well, here you can share it, as I said, on Outlook, Hotmail, or SkyDrive back to the FTP. So this was really just to give you an idea, a little bit about the experience you have with the phone. And I want to go back to the slide. And let's talk a little bit about the hardware. What you have to know is that Microsoft really strictly defines some minimum common hardware requirement. And that's a good thing. Why that? Because if you develop an application for Windows Phone 7, you want to be sure that your application is running well on all platforms. We have different partners. As you know, or as you probably know, Microsoft is not creating devices, is not creating hardware, but we have partners like Nokia, many, we have HTC, Dell, and so on, many of them. And all the devices must have those minimal common hardware requirement. All the devices must have 3 physical buttons. So we have a back button, a start button, and a search button. That's really important. You can program it, get access to the via code, and so on. So really, a lot of power within the pocket. It's even better if you want in some way than a PC, because on a PC you don't have sensors like GPS, accelerometer, compass, and so on. So it's even better in some way than a computer. Good. Now, if you want to code for Windows 7, if you want to create an application for Windows 7, what do you have to do? We have basically 2 different frameworks. If you want to create an app, you use Silverlight. That's our framework. If you already done some Silverlight development, it's pretty the same. Or if you want to create games, like Mario did, you can use XNA. Then, the tools are free. Totally free for everybody, not just for students, but for everybody. You can download and install a Windows Phone SDK 7.1. This is the latest version. And by installing the Windows Phone SDK 7.1, you will get those stuff. First of all, Visual Studio 2010 Express for Windows Phone. This is the typical developer tool. Then we have Expression Blend for Windows Phone. This is the typical designer tool. And then, by the way, if you have already the professional version of Visual Studio or the full version of Expression Blend, by installing the Windows Phone SDK, you will actually just get additional template inside your tool. And then we have the Windows Phone emulator, which I'm going to show it to you in a moment. It's really a cool emulator. You can really do a lot of stuff. You can even emulate accelerometer stuff. You can emulate GPS coordinate and so on. Good. I think it's time to build a really small sample together. And so what I do, first of all, I start Visual Studio. I say I want to create a new project. Those are really just a little bit the basics. But I have seen in the afternoon there will be another session about Windows Phone 7 Mango. They're going to go more into the details. And now you can see we have a bunch of templates, Silverlight for Windows Phone. I'm going to use the data bank, but you see here we have the panorama and other template, which helps you a lot in creating Windows Phone application. I'm going to select that one because I just want to have some UI. And now I am inside Visual Studio, which, as I said, it's a typical developer tool. The UI of a Windows Phone 7 application, it's, as I said, it's Silverlight-based, so it's XML, it's XAML. Here I have the preview with the UI. Of course, with this resolution of the screen, it's a little bit better to work like that. But otherwise, here we have our XAML, which is defining the UI. And what I can start to do, okay, you can work inside Visual Studio, so you select page name, and I want to change the title of this because what we are going to do is a small photo browser application. So I say photo browser. But now, if you want to really work at the level of the UI, you can use the other tool, which is Expression Blend. So you can right-click on the main page, but maybe before I do that, I just show you the template working, otherwise then you get lost. So I start the application. This is the emulator. Here I have the list. And if you select one, you go to the detail page. So we have a main page and a detail page. And now we are going to change those two pages together with some small animation. So I go back here, and now I say right-click on the main page, open in Expression Blend, which is the typical designer tool. It's going to open the same project, and so you can work at the same time on the same solution. You do some stuff inside Expression Blend, you save everything, you go back on Visual Studio, and then you can continue writing code inside Visual Studio. Okay, so now we have our main page, and currently this template, the data bound template, is using some data, so I need to remove the data source. I say delete data source because I want to create my own data source. And now I say create a new sample data. Let's call it photo browser source, so it's the source of my data. I say OK. And what you can note, that a collection has been generated. I want to change the name of this collection, so I say this is the photos. This is the photos collection. And inside the collection, I have some item, and each item has two properties. In this case, that's the default one, property 1 and property 2. I want to change the name. So the item is being composed by an image, and is being composed by a text, which I want to show on the detail page, related to the image, of course. And now I change the type. I say image is of type image, of course. And now I can point to a location. Okay, and I have a directory, which is here, source picture. Now you don't see the picture, but it's plenty of picture. I say select this folder. And then the text, what I say, the text is not of type Boolean, but it's of type string. I can say as a test, okay, max word count, I want no more than 10 words, and max length, let's say 10. And now what I can do, I can per drag and drop place all stuff on the main page. So I go here on the photo collection, I place it here, and I see that this template is being used, and now I want to change a little bit this template. At the moment, I can do nothing, so I do right-click, I say edit additional template, and I say that I want to edit the current template because I want to change the position of all the stuff. So here you see what he generated is, it's a stack panel control, which is a control which is used to place other control. In fact, inside the stack panel control, I'm placing an image control and a text box control, in order to text block control, sorry, which is a label. Okay? And now I want to change the orientation of the control which are inside the stack panel. So instead of having the picture on the top and the text on the bottom, I want to have the picture on the left side and the text next to it. So what I do, I select the stack panel, I go into the properties window, and I say that the orientation of the stack panel is not vertical, but it's horizontal. And voila, we have it. Now what I want to do, I select once again the stack panel, I want to create some space between the rows, so I go here on the bottom, and I say that I want to create a margin of 15 pixels. I select now the text block, and I want to move it a little bit on the left. Okay, and now I also need to, it's a little bit not so nice to work with this resolution, I'm not used. So I select now the text, and I want to have many lines of text. So I go here on the bottom, I go on the bottom, I go in the text section, and I say that the text wrapping, yes, I want to wrap the text, so we have many lines. And okay, let's say we are happy with that. It's not really wonderful, but anyway, it's just to give you a little bit an idea. And so now we have the main page with the list, which is already working because it's part of the template. And now what I want to do, that when I select one image, I go to the detail page. So let's go to the detail page, which is defined inside the details page, docxaml. So I go here inside. Let's zoom out a little bit. First of all, I want to remove that one. I don't need it. Also, that one, I don't need it. Let's clean a little bit all the stuff, and that as well. Now, on that screen, what I want to show the image in full screen. Take the whole surface which is available. What can I do? I need to add a couple of control. So I go inside the content panel control. First of all, I need an image control. So I go here on the assets. I can search for image. There are really many, many control you can use. And now I can design it here. And now I can select it. I can place it here, dock it on the top, on the left. And the same here. So it took the whole surface which is available. That's for the image. Now I need to set to add another control, which is a label control. So it's a text block control. So I select here, and I do like that. let's keep it, leave it like that. And now I need to bind the information. I have my source information. In the meantime, he has generated, the tool has generated an XML file with all the source information. I need to do data binding between the control and the image. So between the image control and my image, between the text block control and my text. What I do, I go here on the data section. I select here my data source. And here what I can do, okay, the image, drag and drop, I place it here on the back. And voila, it's taking the whole place. And now it's selecting the text block. And the text, I do the same with the text block, which it didn't do. Let's try again, voila. And now what I want to do, I want to add a little animation, okay? When, first of all, I want to hide the text. So I go in the property windows, I go on the opacity property, and I say zero. So the text is going to disappear. Okay, now it's away. And now when I tap on the image on the screen somewhere, I want to come a nice animation that the text is coming in 1 second, but at the same time the image is going to go a little bit away. How can you do something like that? It's really easy. You need to create an animation. So you go here, there is a plus button, and you create a storyboard. Animation are called storyboard. I give a name to the animation, so I say that's animation. And now you see, now I am in record modus. I can start to record what I'm doing. So I do. After 1 second, and I move here, the slider to here, what I want to do. I want to display the text, so I select the text block. I go inside the property and I say, after 1 second, it must be back to 100%. And the image must go a little bit away, so I put the opacity of the image at 50%. And now you can just test the animation. This is the effect you have. Okay? I can now stop the recording. I'm happy with the animation. I can save everything. And now, of course, I need to implement an event handler. When the user tap on the screen, I need to start the animation. How can I do that? I select this control, the content panel. I go inside the event section. It's here. It's a little bit hidden. You see we have many events. And the tap event, it's actually a mouse left button up event. I do a double click. The event handler is being generated. You see we have code here. But let's go back to Visual Studio. So you save everything. That's really important. You go back inside Visual Studio. Visual Studio, understand that there were some changes, so I say, okay, I need to reload the solution inside the tool. And now I can go inside my detail page, and in particular inside the code behind file, which is a C# file. And inside this file, I have the same event handler. What I have to do, really easy, animation dot begin. And the other thing I need to do, because it's just so a sample, instead of using the sample data of which are part of the template, I'm just going to use my photo browser source I was creating at the beginning of the presentation. Because I know that he has created a new namespace. Namespace is a way to organize classes and so on. I go inside the sample directory here, where he has created the photo browser source, and I'm just going to copy the name of the namespace he has created, so that I don't do any mistake. So he has, of course, generated an object. So I say new. I want to create a new instance of what? Of photos. And then, no, sorry, of photo browser source. The first one was just the template. And now I say photos, and I want to pass the index, which is index, because I want to show a specific image, the one I selected on the main page. I don't have time to go too much into the detail, but I mean the template is there. You can try it by yourself and have a look. So now I've built everything. And now you see here on the top, I have, okay, that I want to deploy my application on the Windows Phone emulator. I can start it. So I press F5 because now it's time to test my application. I have here the list Okay? And if I select an image, I go on the detail page, and now if I tap somewhere, we get this nice animation. Now I want to show you another thing. Not only you can deploy on the Windows Phone emulator, but you can deploy on the real phone as well. So I connect via USB my phone, and I'm going to show you that you can also, you can debug code as well. For this, you need Zune installed. So let's go back to the code. I put a breakpoint here inside at the place where the animation starts. And now I start once again the code in debug modus. I don't need that one. Okay. And I say instead of deploying on a Windows Phone emulator, I want to deploy it on the Windows Phone device. I start everything, but first of all, I want to show you what is happening on the phone. So let's put that on the left side. You see here is, wait, my phone once again, secret pin. So you have here the application. And now what I do, I go here, I press F5. Everything is going to be deployed on the phone. You see it's coming. And voila, I have my list. Now I am on the real phone. You can really test. Maybe for games especially it's better if you have touch stuff, and so it's easier to test on the real phone. And now if I select one image, I'm here. And if I press tab, now the event handler will be raised. So I am inside Visual Studio. Breakpoint, you can test. You can see what is going on. I press F5, and you will see on the left side that the animation will be executed. So this was just to give you a little bit an idea about what you can do with Windows Phone, the experience you have with the tool, and so on. And now a couple of information. If you want to test your application, we have seen you can use the Windows Phone emulator, first of all. Second, you can test it on the physical device. But if you want to test it on the physical device, what do you have to do? You have to unlock your phone for development. And in order to unlock your phone for development, you need to download a small tool, which is called the Developer Registration Tool. I put here a link. You can click on it and you see what you have to do. It's really 2 minutes, it's done. And by unlocking the phone, then you can also deploy on the physical device. Other thing you have to do, if you have a friend who developed a Windows Phone 7 application, and maybe is asking you, hey, please, can you test it on your device for me for whatever reason, your friend is going to send you a package. And this package is a XAP package. It's like a zip file. And the XAP package contains a Windows Phone 7 application. Okay? The XAP package can be found inside the bin directory of your Visual Studio solution. So you take it, you send it per email, and if I want then to deploy it, a physical XAP package on the phone, I need another tool which is called the Application Deployment Tool for Windows Phone. You just select the file and you say, okay, deploy. Another important thing, as a student, if you want to publish, to create application and publish them on the marketplace, as a student, you don't have to pay, it's free for you. You don't have to pay the annual subscription fee of $99. But in order to do that, what you have to do, first of all, you have to go on the Microsoft DreamSpark website using your Life ID. And once that you get verified with DreamSpark, so it's like a process that really confirms that you are really a student, then you can go on the AppHub developer portal, create an account, okay, because you want to publish application for Windows Phone. And when you are on the account type mask, then you can select student. Here is written as well that you need to be verified as DreamSpark member. So in this way you get the account. And then when you want to publish your application, you can go. Here you have a couple of links. It's really well written, step by step, what you have to do. You have to submit your XAP package and so on, put in a name, providing some icon and so on. Another thing I didn't have time to show you, but it's really useful, is the Windows Phone Marketplace Test Kit. This is part of Visual Studio 2010, and it's really useful because it helps you a lot in order it helps your application, let's say, to be accepted easily inside the Windows Phone marketplace. So it's going to launch your application, doing some tests. You move around the application. He's analyzing and registering what you're doing. And if there are any problems, he's able to catch those problems and let you know. So there is... it's really useful. And then application submission guide, certification requirement, and blah, blah, if you want to monetize your application as well, what you have to do as a Swiss person. Christoph was mentioning before that in order to get a Nokia with Windows Phone, you have to create a freestyle application, okay? But he was also saying that if you don't have much time, you can use a templated application. I'm just going to show you shortly this application, which is already finished, that you can start to customize it. And the first 20 people doing that will get the Windows Phone. So I go here. I have, this is the application. I can start it once again inside the emulator. I close the emulator. You shouldn't close every time the emulator because the first time is taking quite a lot of time to start. So here I have, you have the application. All those pictures can be customized. It's really easy to do. Here you have the What's New section, which is a list of news, which is populated by an RSS feed. Then on this section, you have a list of contacts. If you click on the phone number, okay, there is this call prompt dialogue. Everything is already implemented. Now, okay, if you click on the email, the email mask will appear and so on. You have this picture. Everything can be customized by changing stuff inside those XML file here on the right. So you have the contact XML and so on. Then on the other mask, what do we have? Some links here once again. Here we have a map that now I don't know why is not working. I think I opened the wrong solution because in order to show a Bing map, you need to get a big map key, okay? But anyway, that's the application. You can really change. There is a RSS for a weather forecast and so on. Anyway, as I was saying, everything is being described on this small manual. So the how to use the Windows Phone Starter Kit for schools to create your own Windows Phone application. And here you get all the description. It's really easy what you have to do. And all single mask has been described. For instance, here, as you can see, contact section, display a list of contact, which is defined inside this file. So you just have to go there, change the stuff, and you have it. You can also change the layout, but I don't want to spend too much time because it's really easy to do. All the information is here. It's not long, as you can see. It's already finished. And that's another way you can do in order to get a Windows Nokia, a Nokia phone with Windows. Good. Let's go back to the slide. And now it's time to talk, okay, resource. I really suggest you to have a look to the training kit, those two. This is the, let's say, old training kit, but it's still valid. And it's the new Mango training kit because 1 month ago about we released the new version of the operating system and the code name was Mango. Okay, so here they are going to display the new feature of the phone. But you can use this and this as well. Everything which is written, it's really, and you will see, you can really have a look at it, copy the code, paste it, and it will run. It's really easy to create application for Windows Phone. Good. Now it's time to talk a little bit about Kinect and about the Kinect sensor, or specifically to the Kinect SDK for Windows, which today is in beta. So, first of all, let's have a look of the sensor. It's there. So what we have here, we have an RGB camera, and this camera actually returns an image that responds to 30 frames per second. Then what we have? We have two 3D depth sensor, one on the left, one on the right. The one on the left is a projector sensor. The one on the on the right is an infrared sensor. And with this, the two sensors together, the Kinect sensor is able to get depth information. So it's able actually to know how far something is. And then what we have the multi-array microphone, and then we have a motorized tilt, which lets you to move like that the Kinect sensor. It's, I think, a plus minus 27 degrees. But now let's With the Kinect, you can really do a lot of stuff. The Kinect SDK, it's really huge. So I thought I cannot show you everything. I'm going to show you one stuff, and I think it's probably one of the most interesting stuff. Skeleton data. Kinect is able to track skeleton. It's able to track people. Up to six people, but just two of them can be active, player. Okay? And what I can say that for the two people, for the two active people, Kinect is able to return skeleton data. And each skeleton data has, as you can see from this image, 20 joints. Okay? And each joint has information about the position. So we have the X, the Y, and the depth, which is Z. There is an API. It's really huge. You can use. I don't want to go into the detail. That's the API I'm using in the sample you're going to see in a moment. And so now it's time for the demo. The first demo, it's part of the Kinect SDK. You just have to download it, and you can play with it. You can see the code. And so I start the skeleton sample skeleton viewer. So you can see it's me, it's tracking me, okay? You can move around, it's tracking all the points, so 20 joints, okay? That's the basic. And of course now you can start to have some fun with that, okay? And if you really have time to spend, time to lose, you can do something like that. So I start this application, and this time you see it's recognizing me, okay? So it's really me. So I decided to put the image on the top, and then, okay, you can say, yeah, if I want to show to all girls, are there any girls here in the room? Yes. Okay, that I'm really a strong person, I do like that, and you see the muscles. So you can start to really play with it, to program with it, and so on. And I'm going to show you in the code how you can do something like that. So I close it, and let's have a look at the code. So I start my Visual Studio solution. So first of all, we have an image, it's me, okay? And then I have the main windows, which is the black windows, and if you go inside the windows, you see that we have mainly two elements. One is a canvas element, which is called skeleton. That's the place where I'm going to show my skeleton or skeleton of people. And then another one is called my image, which is pointing to me, to my picture. Of course, I need to place my image on the head joint, okay? And what you see here on the top, you see that when the Windows is loaded, the Windows loaded event handler is being called. So now I go inside the code. First of all, what we see here, I'm declaring a variable of type runtime. And by the way, in order to play with the Kinect SDK, you need to add a reference to the Microsoft Research Kinect DLL. And you have to use the following namespace using Microsoft Research Kinect.new. New stands for Natural User Interface. So you declare a variable of type runtime. We go a little bit on the bottom, and we go inside the Windows Loaded Event Handler. Here I create a new instance of the runtime. I do it a little bit bigger, maybe. Okay. And then what I do, I say initialize, and I'm telling to the Kinect sensor that I'm only interested in getting skeleton data, not other stuff, not other information. As I was telling you before, you can do many stuff with the Kinect sensor, but I'm just interested in those information on skeleton data. And then I go below, and what I'm doing, I'm signing up for the skeleton frame ready event. Skeleton frame ready event will be raised when the Kinect sensor recognizes a skeleton, and as soon as I'm moving around, that there are new information, is always raised, this event, okay? And then, so I sign up for this event, and here I have the name of my event handler. I go inside the event handler, and inside the event handler, what you see? That you get a parameter, E. First of all, I'm getting access to the skeleton frame. now that's part of the API. I don't want to go to the detail what's exactly inside and so on. It's just to give you a little bit an idea of what you can do. And then here, first of all, what he's doing here, he's defining 10 different brushes, 10 different, sorry, 6 different brushes, 6 different color, because if you have 6 people, he's going to display each person with a different color. Then I say, okay, I want to clear the canvas where the skeleton is displayed. And then, using the skeleton frame, which has been defined here on the top, I'm getting access to skeletons. And skeleton will contain only the skeleton data information about the two active player. And what I'm doing, first of all, I'm drawing the bones, so the line. So I have like, I start from the head, then I go here. Maybe to make things clearer, if I go here and I show you this picture, you see it's going to start to draw a line from the head, then it goes to the shoulder center, then to the spine, and then on the hip on the center. Here I need a line. And this is exactly what these lines of code is doing. I pass all the joints and I'm saying I want to draw a line from the hip center, spine, shoulder center, head. This is that line. So I'm drawing all the skeleton. Those lines are doing exactly that. Draw the bones, okay? Then I say, okay, my image with me, it's visible. And now I'm calculating where I have to position the image. I need to position it on the head joint, okay? Of course, it's my head. And you see here, I'm doing some calculation. I have the Y, which is the high where I have to position the image, and the X, which is saying I need to position it in the center of the head joint. And this is the way I'm calculating it. I wouldn't want to spend too much time. And then what I'm doing, I'm saying if the left shoulder position is below the left hand, what does it mean? If I am like that, as soon as I go up, it means that I'm doing that. At this point, I need to draw the muscles. So, and how can I do that? First of all, I need to calculate the distance between the elbow and the shoulder, so from here to here, okay? And then, I don't want to go too much into the detail. I was spending quite a lot of time with my colleague because now I'm actually designing a triangle here on the bottom, and with sin and cosine, all the stuff I did a long time ago that I forget. So I was copying a piece of code somewhere. You calculate actually the top point of the muscle, which is here, okay? So once you have the point, so I calculate the two coordinates, the X and the Y. Once I have the point, I create the point, which is the top of the muscles. And then what I say, I need to create a point collection of 4. Why 4? Because you say, okay, I need to start from here, 1, 2, 3, and then back 4. That's why you need 4 point collection. And this is exactly what I'm doing here. And you see, here I have shoulder left, top of the muscles, elbow left, shoulder left, back. Exactly what I'm doing with this 4 line of code. I'm adding those 4 points. And then I'm designing the triangle with fill and so on, color, and I'm adding to the skeleton. The same thing is done for the right hand. And then on the bottom, what I'm doing, I'm drawing all the joints. So all the point here, one here, one here. This is what I'm doing with this piece of code. So as you've seen, this was just an idea, an introduction, in order to give you some stuff, some inspiration. And actually, yes, I think the time is pretty finished. So I put a resource slide with some information about Kinect. You can download it, Kinect for Windows SDK. There is a quick start with some videos, with explanations, slides, and so on. You can download for free. And then, once again, I remind you about the You Make IT Smart competition. Now you know what you have to do if you want to get a Nokia, a brand new Nokia with Windows Phone. And thank you for providing us feedback. And if you have any question, I would say, time it's over, I would say you can come here after the session. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the day.